Lord, we just rejoice in your grace that brings us back here. It has been so long, and it is just so good to worship you with one another, to be able to sing out with our family, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I want to invite Shona to come up, and she's going to preach this morning. Can we just reach out your hands and pray for Shona? We haven't been able to do this for each other for such a long time, and it's good to be able to do that. So, Lord, I want to thank you for this amazing woman. I thank you for Shona and for her faithfulness to serving your church here in Whiteinch for all this time. And I pray that as you have been working in her heart just to, for her to bring a word to us this morning, we know that she has heard from you. We know that you're a faithful God. And so we just say yes to whatever it is you have to bring us this morning. Prepare us to hear your word, Lord, and prepare Shona just to deliver it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Good morning. It's really good to be here. It has been a bit of an interesting start this morning, clearly, but we did soak up some sunshine outside where we were waiting to get into the centre. So it's been really good. It's really good to be here. As Deborah says, it's a bit odd when you do the thing live again because you don't have a wee button that you can push and then go back and fix all the mistakes. So we'll just all need to be in the mistakes together this morning. I'm afraid that's how that sounds. I want to read for you, first of all, this morning from Psalm 27. Psalm 27. We're going to read the first six verses and then the last two verses, and I'm hoping it's going to come up on the screen. I had forgotten to put it on, but I'm hoping I've managed to do that now. So Psalm 27 says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Even though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord." And then the last two verses say this: "I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." On the 15th of March 2020, I wonder if you recognize the date or if you know what you were doing. I know what I was doing on the 15th of March 2020 because I was stood here doing the same thing as I'm doing just now. So when we had our final service before lockdown, I ended up being on the rota to speak that Sunday. And we didn't contrive this. We didn't at all contrive this. And I ended up being on the rota to speak this morning. And when I spoke on the 15th of March 2020, we read from Psalm 27. And as I have sat and thought, well, what on earth are we going to look at this morning, Psalm-wise, I kept coming back to Psalm 27 and thought, I wonder actually if we need to go back to Psalm 27, and it almost bookends where we've been for the last 15, 16 months. I don't know how that last 16 months has been for you. I think it's been a very challenging 16 months. And if I don't know if we'd known then what we know now, how we would have been on that Sunday morning when we knew that was the last service that we thought maybe was for a few weeks or a couple of months, but actually over a year down the line, we were still online and still not able to come back. On that Sunday, 16 months ago, we thought about fear, and we thought about how fear affects us and what makes us afraid. And I want to just jump onto that just for a moment at the start of where we are this morning. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 27 is afraid. There's lots of enemies round about him, and he's afraid of what is going on. I wonder what it is you're afraid of. You know, 16 months ago as we sat, we really didn't know what was coming. And although there was fear around in the atmosphere that has almost been palpable over the last 16 months, we really didn't know what was coming. And so by the grace of God, I guess we didn't have the levels of fear that we might have had we been able to look into the 16 months that were to come. But I wonder what it is that you are afraid of or uneasy about at the moment. I wonder if going back to normality fills you with a bit of dis-ease at the moment. I wonder if you are still uneasy about the fact that perhaps the virus will come and take over again and we'll be back into lockdown again. I wonder if the new normal that we keep hearing about is something that makes you uneasy, because this is not the same world that we came out of 16 months ago. It's different now and things look a bit different. I wonder even if, as you look around and you, over the last 16 months, have seen where we've been as a church and the stuff that has gone on for us, I wonder even as you look in terms of church, if there's an uneasiness about where on earth are we heading? What is it going to look like in 16 months' time? Who's going to be up here? Who are we going to have a minister? Are we going to be here? What is happening in terms of the church? And so perhaps there's an unease or a fear or a nervousness about what the future looks like. You know, again, 16 months ago, we thought about what fear was. And the dictionary definition of fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. None of us like pain. None of us would go out of our way to seek out pain. And so as we look into the time beyond where we are just now, we can get uneasy or fearful about what might be coming next, because we're not sure how pleasant or unpleasant that is. You know, fear can be real, or it can be perceived. If you're anything like me, I can sit with something and I can sit with it and my brain can start to go into a bit of overdrive and I end up down a million rabbit holes about where the thing could go or what on earth could happen or what might happen. And I live with the what ifs sometimes. And sometimes when we start to live with those what ifs, then we start to become quite anxious and quite fearful. You know, nobody ever stopped being afraid because somebody said to them, don't be scared of that. You know, do you ever remember, even when you were a kid, when you were scared of something and somebody said to you, just don't be scared, it'll be fine, don't be scared. And, you know, you think to yourself, well, that's a great idea. I wish I'd thought of that. I wish I'd just thought not to be scared, because then I wouldn't be scared. That's not how it works, is it? That's not the way that it works for us. And that problem is that we get stuck sometimes in the what if. So what if there's another upsurge of the virus? What if we get another lockdown? What if we don't get a minister? What if we do get a minister? What if nobody turns up on a Sunday morning? What if the centre's locked and we can't get in? And we can get stuck in all of the what ifs. You know, we can build whole scenarios in our heads about what ifs, and then we can start to lose focus. What's the solution to the issue of the what ifs? What's the solution of when we start to lose focus and when we start to go down all of those rabbit holes and start to become anxious about things? Well, because we're in church, once again, any question that's asked, the answer is obviously Jesus. And so the solution really is Jesus. And that's really what the psalmist is saying in here in this passage. Let's take a look just at the middle couple of verses that we read. They say this: one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. That is the shift of focus, isn't it? The focus is no longer on all the stuff that's round about, but the focus is on Jesus. There's something quite profound about switching focus and what that looks like. How do we switch focus? It's much easier said than done, isn't it, when we get into those spirals and we get into those rabbit holes all over the place. But switching focus brings a completely different perspective. When we have a different perspective, then actually our feelings and our emotions and our behaviour changes because our perspective has changed. Look at what the psalmist says in verse 6. He says this. Then my head, so after I've fixed my eyes on Jesus, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. You know, 16 months on from where we were in March 2020, I wonder what your response and my response is. I don't know about you, but the opportunity to come together as the people of God in this place this morning, as the church family in this place, to be able to do exactly what the psalmist says, to sacrifice with shouts of joy and to sing and make music to the Lord. That's been the invitation to us this morning as we've come together in this space and in this place. I don't know about you, but I find it much easier to do that when I'm with other people than I do if I'm standing in my kitchen. I can do it in my kitchen, and I can do it because I set my face like flint and I decide I'm going to do it. But it's not easy to do it by yourself. That's why we're meant to come together. It's why community is really, really important. But that change of focus for us, when we're not focusing on all this stuff on the outside, but actually we're focusing on Jesus and who Jesus is, that's what changes our behaviour. And we know from all forms of psychology, in particular, we know from CBT, I've got to watch those, there are various permutations of those letters that mean something completely different. But yes, it is CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy. We know from that that when we change our behaviour, we can change our feelings and emotions, and we can change our thoughts as well. We know that interrupting that cycle where we get into negative thoughts and feelings and emotions and behaviours, when we interrupt the cycle, we can actually affect all of those things. And I wonder if by coming here this morning, we've actually interrupted the cycle. It would be really interesting to see how you feel when you leave here this morning as compared to how you felt when you came in. I know when I leave here, I'll feel so much better because standing outside there this morning with no keys to get in, our minds were down 100 rabbit warrens in terms of where this might go this morning. We had lots and lots of different permutations. So focusing on Jesus, let me very quickly share four things that happen when we focus on Jesus. The psalmist tells us in the verses that we have just read that Jesus is lovely. He wants to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Jesus is lovely. There is something hugely attractive about Jesus. That's really important for us to get. It's also really important for everybody else to get as well. You know, sometimes the church is not very attractive. God is getting his bride ready, but actually there are some bits that we still need to deal with. There are some stuff that still needs to disappear that makes us not particularly attractive. Sometimes the church isn't attractive, but actually Jesus is beautiful. And the more of Jesus that we have in us, the more of him radiates out to other people, and folks are attracted to Jesus. They're not attracted to dogma or religion. They're attracted to the person of Jesus. And Jesus is lovely. Jesus is also concerned about us. Verse 4 says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling." Jesus hasn't just set it all up to let us go off and do our own thing and stand back and say, well, if you'd done it the way I suggested to you in the first place, you wouldn't be in that bother. He doesn't do that. Jesus is down here in the dirt with us, and he's concerned about us. He wants to keep us safe. He wants to offer us a place to hide behind him or in him, particularly at times when we're afraid. The third thing about Jesus is that Jesus is resourceful. Verse 5 says, he will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent. Jesus' sacred tent is meant for shelter for you. It's not some great place that has to be kept sacred and special and spotless. He invites us into his sacred tent because he is resourceful and he'll use whatever is at hand in order to create a place for us to be. And the fourth thing is that Jesus gives us perspective. Verse 5 says, he sets me high upon a rock. If you think of what that says, setting high upon a rock gives us a vantage point. It takes us out of what's on the ground. It takes us out of what we can only see in a very relatively short distance. And it takes us up above it so that we have almost a bird's eye view, that we get a big picture rather than the little picture that we're in sometimes on the ground. Sometimes focusing on Jesus is really hard, isn't it? Sometimes focusing on Jesus is hard. And I was thinking about that this morning. I was thinking about what makes it difficult for us to focus on Jesus. And the thing that struck me as I was thinking about it this morning, sometimes the thing that makes it hard for me to focus on Jesus is because I'm angry. And anger's not something I do hugely often, outwardly or hugely well. It's something that over the years I've really had to try and work at to find the anger, because it's in there and it goes somewhere. But sometimes I get really angry with Jesus because he doesn't do what I want him to do, and he doesn't do the things that I think he should be doing. I look at situations that I'm involved with. I look at people that I know that I love who are suffering, and I look and I think, you know, Jesus, see, if I was you, I wouldn't do it that way. And sometimes I think he just smiles and he says, well, Shona, thank God you're not me. You know, sometimes it's because we're angry that we find it difficult to focus on Jesus and we get off that rock. And instead of being able to see from the vantage point of the rock that he wants to sit us on, we get back down into the dirt and into the mess and into the chaos. You know, that connection with Jesus, that focusing on Jesus, isn't just about reading your Bible. It's not just about saying the right things. It's not just about having the language that says, but I know the Lord will fight for me. It's not just about declaring stuff. That focus on Jesus is actually a visceral thing. It's a thing that happens, and if this is something you've not experienced, it's awful hard to describe what it is that happens, but it's a visceral thing that happens in that connection with Jesus, where even though I look around and the world looks as if it's falling apart, you know, globally, but also up close and personal, I look at it and there's a visceral focus on Jesus. There's a visceral, my goodness, actually, I don't know what the way through this is, but Jesus, you're lovely. Jesus, you're kind. Jesus, you're resourceful. Jesus, you care about me. And somehow there's something happens to change us on the inside. When we get to that point, when I get to that point, then I can land on the last verses of that psalm that we read, which say this: I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. How do we find the strength and the courage and the stamina to keep going, even as we come out of a pandemic and one minute we've got restrictions and then the next minute we've not, and then somebody's threatening restrictions again? How do we find the courage to keep going and to keep focused on Jesus when our world looks as if, our personal world sometimes looks as though it's falling apart? I think the answer to that is that we orient ourselves towards Jesus. And sometimes that's not about reading great swathes of our Bible or listening to yet another podcast. Sometimes we reorient ourselves by just taking time to be quiet and to be still, not to try and do anything or make anything happen, but just to be quiet and be still and allow Jesus to come close to us, to allow him to lift us up onto the rock, to allow him to hide us in that sacred tent, to allow him to give us whatever shelter it is we need, to allow him to hear the shouts of praise or joy or whatever, if that's the place that you're in. I want us to take just a minute this morning to do that. It seems to me a real pity that we would come together and not just make a space for Jesus to draw close to us. So why don't we do that just for a minute before we respond with our final worship song? So let's just be quiet for a minute before Jesus and ask him, Jesus, how do you want to come to us just now? Lord Jesus, will you come? We come expectantly, and we come to wait in the silence for you to draw close to us in this place this morning. Lord Jesus, in this place we come and we give you our joys and we give you our sorrows. Jesus, we give you the best times and we give you the worst times. Knowing that for any time that we find ourselves in, we have you. Jesus, we thank you that your presence with us and our connection with you makes all the difference to how we view what is going on round about us. Jesus, as we exit this pandemic in the form that we've been in over the last 16 months, Jesus, will you presence yourself with us as individuals, as a faith community in this place and in the communities that we live and that we serve in? Jesus, will you keep at the front of our minds that connection with you? Will you help us not only to know it, to understand it, but to feel that connection with you as we go about our daily business? And Jesus, as we do that, will you highlight to us, will you let us see how our perspective and how our behavior changes in the midst of that? Jesus, we thank you that for today, for tomorrow, and for all that comes, we have you. Jesus, as we come to focus now to bring our songs of worship to you, we ask that out of the depths of those places of connection with you, we would be able to worship you now. Amen.